Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the pro wrestling quiz show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.
Shop the best Black Friday weekend deals up to 70% off only at Tanger Outlets. Save big at Crocs, Old Navy Outlet, American Eagle Outfitters, Kay Jewelers, and hundreds more. Find something for everyone on your list during our biggest sale of the year. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Stores open at 6 a.m. Black Friday. Get your savings at Tanger.com. Big time deals on big name brands.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit VoicesOfWrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome back to another episode of The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. I'm your host, Tyler Fornes, and with me as always is Fred. I have a mouthful of Chex Mix Moreland. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm real great.
Doing well, Tyler. You are lucky that I don't literally have a mouthful of Chex Mix right now, because I would look bad. It's this isn't a show about audio quality. So
no, it definitely is not.
But my mother-in-law sent me some, and it is very delicious. And I am now sitting here with a bag that is almost in arm's reach, and I am questioning making bad decisions, but I'm going to do my best. How are things going with you, buddy, and the Minnesota Vikings?
Well, the Vikings are doing very, very well. 9-2. I am having fun.
Are you 9-2?
Yes.
Emotionally?
Maybe like 8-3 emotionally.
I'll take that.
That last game was awful. That last game absolutely stunk, you know? all right. We have a lot to talk about.
We do. Got a pay-per-view to review, and if we have time, we got to preview the Continental Classic.
We may have time. Yeah, we'll have time. We'll find out.
And if we don't, I'll do something on my own.
Yeah. I think that there's something interesting. Ricky Starks did the Chris Van Vliet gimmick, because he obviously was at GCW, and he's going to wrestle Matt Cardona on the 14th. He does this long interview, and he just talks about he's just at home, and he's just like not meant to be at home. It sounds like he's still under contract. This whole thing is weird.
Yeah, I saw a report somewhere. I've already forgotten where. I apologize. He is still signed through spring or summer of next year. I am, as a Ricky Starks enthusiast, I think he's a tremendous talent. I think it'd be great if he was on TV, being featured, being part of the mix. I think it's unfortunate that he's not, and I'd love to see him back in AEW doing his thing. But I just kind of, I mean, the vibes, you know, you never can tell with wrestling, but the vibes really do seem to me that he's donezo. It's not like I have inside info on this or anything, you know, I'm just a schmuck. But that's just what it seems like. Now watch him show up tomorrow, or Wednesday, I should say. I wish, you know, it's a tough situation. It's, you know, for as leaky as AEW is sometimes, you know, with the C2, half the C2 field coming out, you know, last week, and so on and so forth. The whole, like, whatever is going on with Ricky Starks not really coming out is interesting. That is the kind of thing that Tony Khan really tries to tamp down on, the, you know, the more dramatic stuff, to mixed results. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I don't know if, like, once the tag team with Big Bill and all that was done, that, like, they got a Hungy Cat running. That, like, Tony Khan was just like, all right, well, this is enough. And just put him in that, you know, the Pentagon Jr., Ray Phoenix, you are signed, but we're not going to use you anymore, silo. I don't know, man. Maybe Ricky made it clear he wanted to go to WWE. You know, Cody is there. Apparently, he gets along well with CM Punk. I guess we'll see.
Yeah. I'm a Ricky Starks enthusiast too, and I think there's something there with him. But you know what? If he goes, he goes at this point. Like,
yeah. I mean, they've, you know, survived the past years. He's never been like, as over as important as CM Punk was, and he's not, you know, Moxley or Swerve or whatever. So it's not like the business is going to collapse. I do think he was a strong potential Hall of Famer, or not Hall of Famer, sorry, main eventer, I should say. Mm-hmm. You know, so I feel like it's a shame. You know, I think it is to the company's detriment to not have him and not be able to continue push him up the card. I think he's a guy that really could have worked as a top guy, but you know, whatever happened, I guess, and here we are. It just seems like it's settled, you know.
It just kind of is what it is. Something to monitor though, because he's working GCW. That's not nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, we make fun of GCW. GCW kind of is grimy in some of the worst ways. But at the end of the day, it's still like a high level indie.
Yes.
And the fact that he's working in a non-partner promotion, because let's just call it what it is. Mm-hmm. GCW is not a partner promotion with AEW. They've allowed talents to go there. But that's it. So that'll be interesting to see how everything manifests, and maybe this means a return for Ricky Starks. Maybe this is him just airing all this out is going to mean he's returning. Who knows? But just something to monitor, because it's not nothing.
It's something, but
yeah.
I mean, at least it, you know, will hopefully prove that he's physically okay. There was a, you know, obviously he had the stinger, reported stinger. You know, I mean, even air quotes, just a stinger, you know, which is scary as hell. You know, it's always, you know, concerning and everything. So, you know, I'd like to see him wherever he goes. I'd obviously prefer to see him in AEW just because I like the style of AEW better. But I don't know. It seriously, it just feels like that, you know, he's on his way out. And it's unfortunate. It really is. I mean, but it's been going on for so long that, like, you know, it's like with Pentagon and Ray Phoenix. I do think it is to the company's detriment to lose them. But it's also clear that even before it was decided that they're on their way out, that Tony Khan wasn't going to push them as a featured thing. And at that point, you know, no matter how good Ray Phoenix is in particular, and I mean, I think he's great. And Penta is very good. It just feels like that, you know, it's settled, you know, and, you know, like Ricky Starks, this guy that shows up on TV once every 6 weeks just to job, is feels like a real underusage of him in particular. And it would feel that way with Penta and Phoenix. So I get it.
Yeah, I get it, too. But let's talk about this show. Fred, did you watch the pre-show?
I watched most of the pre-show. I did not watch the first match, the Anna Jay match. From what I have heard, I didn't miss much, but I can't speak much on it personally. did you catch that one?
No. Okay, I only caught the Costco guys, Big Boom AJ against QT Marshall, because, of course, Saturday was a busy, busy day for me. with the world of college football and the world of I'm married. So I actually am. I just finished working through the show earlier today. So let's kind of talk about that match, because I thought that match was interesting, and it came out later that Big Boom AJ broke his foot before the match.
Yeah.
And still worked it. Look, that's a worker, baby.
It's a wrestler. It's like he has a history in this or something.
Yeah, I wonder. I might That'd have overstated some of this, overstated the social media impact, but let me tell you.
Oh, did you? Good...
Fuck off, Fred. You know what?
I told you, man. I told you.
You know what? I'll eat the L. Okay, but.
It's going to take a little victory lap here. But, okay, so let's just jump straight to that. Well, do you have much to talk about with the four-way first, I guess we should ask?
Well, I got to say, Big Justice hit a pretty decent spear for, like, a 12-year-old kid.
He did.
That was solid. Like, you're like, I don't know how old he is. He looks like 12, 13, 14, somewhere in that range. He had a pretty solid spirit. Like, there was some real training for that. And yeah, Marshall sold it well. Like, yeah, good spot. Entertaining, fun. They got a huge reaction from the crowd. My buddy who was there live said that Big Boom AJ and the Costco guys and the Rizzler got a bigger reaction in the building than Will Ospreay, which to me sounds wild.
Yeah.
But I'm. Pop culture is, like, we're not invested in that world. Maybe these fans were. Like, it's hard to know with wrestling fans what else those fans are going to be into and what's going to hit for them in the building and what's not, especially yeah. outside the world of professional wrestling. So I found that really interesting, but no, it was good. The four-way.
That was a fun little match.
Yeah. Holy shit. The Outrunners are over, baby.
Oh, I was like, talking about the singles on the pre-show.
Buddy Matthews, Dante. That.
Oh, well, how dare you? It was a good match.
Was it the kind of match that I talked about? Like, if you're going to put the Costco guys on the pre-show, it's got to do it at the end, and you got to have, like, a showcase match. Did they do the showcase match?
They tried to. It was a little short of that, but it was good. It was 3.5 stars. Like, you know, it's worth checking out if you haven't seen it, just to look at it on, you know, just get your eyes on it. We're not talking like, who was Eddie? Was it Eddie Kingston, Jun Akiyama that was on that one pre-show that was a fantastic match? Or,
Eddie Kingston, Jun Akiyama was the final match, I think.
On that one pre-show that was, like, better than a good number of WWE pay-per-views in their history. it wasn't that. But it was a nice match. It was a little sampler. You got to see these guys. If anything, I dare say that Buddy Matthews and Beast Mortos may have done a little too much of the "you're too small" stuff on Dante Martin and Commander. Like, to the point that I was like, this is getting a little stiff, you know, with getting those guys over. But it was a fun match. Beast Mortos rules. Buddy got the win, of course. No particular big notes to share on that one. Just good professional performances by all four, I thought. AJ QT. Look, man, let's deliver some flowers. Now, I don't think this is going to change business at all. I don't think there's, you know, we haven't seen the Rampage number came out. It was just like usual, even though it was against a big event. But it was like what you would expect. And the numbers for this pre-show were not particularly impressive compared to past ones. But I will say that what they delivered was a very fun match. And kudos to especially QT Marshall, who did the heavy lifting in the match, I think. He is a great, you know, we've said this before, and we'll say it again right now. I think QT is just a fantastic buffoon character.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a great guy to have around, because you can always use a lower card heel that just annoys everyone, gets heat, and then gets beat. And he's great in that role. It really reminds me of Mark Sterling. Like, those are two peas in a pod right there. It's the same kind of thing, and they're both very good at their job, and neither is, like, you know, going to end up in the Observer Hall of Fame or anything. But, like, they're just good at what they do, and, you know, kudos to QT on this night. He did a great job as a heel, and it was a really well-laid-out match. I think AJ did about as well as you could expect, considering the circumstances with the foot and not having done a match in however long. I think he did struggle with the cardio some, but it was fun, man, and, you know, good job by them to pull this off.
It was fun, man. They delivered exactly what it should have been. It was fun. It was enjoyable. Like, that's exactly what a pre-show match like this should be. And
yeah,
I really enjoyed it. But let's get to the main card. Four-way tag match to start the show. Thought this was an interesting selection for the first match, especially considering EW's history with how they've structured pay-per-views. Mm-hmm. Private Party gets the win, defeating the Outrunners, House of the Black Throne, and the Acclaimed. I believe it was either Max Caster or Anthony Bowens taking the pin. I thought this was good. This Acclaimed breakup stuff, just fucking do it already, man.
Yeah. You and me both here. I am We got two cases for me of Go Away Heat on this show, and this is number two, or number one, I guess, if you're counting correctly. Jesus. Yeah, I am so over the Acclaimed. It's just a stale act. It's very frustrating. And, you know, it's unfortunate because they did a great job of, like, being a very organic act in this company and getting over and so on and so forth. But it's just time's up for them, you know? They gotta split them up and do something else with them. And it's well overdue. And I, you know, the crowd was very negative on Max Caster. I think he's going to... it would be shocking if he was not the heel coming out of the breakup once they do it. I don't know. I'm just... It's over, man. I think it's just over. Now, I think that the Outrunners were very impressive in how over they were. They're in a really interesting position because I don't agree with Joe Lanza, who says that you should just, like, not let them win ever. I think it's worth saying if, you know, there's anything here, kicking the tires, if you can actually push them and have them over as a pushed act rather than as a kind of mid-card comedy act that jobs. But now that being said, I just don't know if they've got the juice in the ring. I think that'll be the big concern with them. Like, they're not bad workers by any stretch, but, you know, I don't know if they're really up to the working standard of AEW, and that'll be something to watch going forward. Maybe they can figure out a way to get their shtick to fit in and all that into a better match quality. I wasn't particularly impressed with their performance here, but this was very much a match built around the Acclaimed and their teasing their breakup, and everyone else was just kind of there. I think the Kings of the Black Throne, not the House of Black, I think they did very well. I was impressed by their work. Of course, it's Malakai Black and Brody King. I mean, I think it's fair to say they're the two best workers in this match by a decent stretch. But yeah, I don't think this match was like a super highlight or anything. It was okay. It was good, like 3-star good, but I wouldn't really recommend anyone go out of their way to watch it.
It's not skippable.
You can skip it. You know, I don't think you're really hurting yourself by skipping it, but
you're not,
you know,
like, you'll have fun watching it.
You will. Yeah. That's the right way to put it.
And I think if you skip it, it's fine, but it's not skippable. I think that's
the way to put it.
Yeah. Solid match. I went like 3.25, 3.5. Like, I had a good time. The Outrunners are over as hell.
They are.
I think you keep doing this kind of stuff with the Outrunners and they keep losing. And then if they still stay over and you keep like doing things with them and hey, give them a surprise win every now and then, kind of see how things go and see how things grow organically, develop. Maybe you can push them in a couple of years. But I don't, I'm with everybody else. I don't think you do that now. If they can maintain the same kind of like fan following, they can maintain the same kind of reaction, the same kind of over a long period of time, then maybe you can push them a little bit. Maybe you can give them a short run with the tag team titles. Like, maybe you can have them do like a full on chase, win the titles, and then lose them in 2 weeks. Like, I think there's a chance you could do something more with these guys, but you gotta let it fester. You gotta let it sit there for a long ass time and grow and nurture and develop. And I think if you do that, you might be able, I'm not going to say that they're going to anchor the tag team division ever. I really don't think so. But there's something like really organic with these guys, like kind of how like the Acclaimed a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I was live in that building, and I'm still a little bit mad at my wife for making me talk on the phone during half of that match. But I have never been, I haven't been to a ton of wrestling shows, but I've been to multiple AEW pay-per-views. I've been to a G1 show. I've never heard an act more over in a live setting than the Acclaimed was All Out 2022. And I was there when Bryan Danielson came into the company. I was there during the match of the year, Young Bucks, Lucha Brothers, when the Lucha Brothers finally got those tag team titles. I've never been in a building where an act has been more over than the Acclaimed All Out 2022. The entire building, they were so over. They were begging for them to win the match. And look, Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland were such a big part of that. But right now, the Acclaim needs to die. Maybe you can bring it back in a few years, but the act needs to canonically die in AEW, and they need to do something else. It's over. But my point of bringing up the Acclaimed with the Outrunners is the Acclaimed took advantage of the pandemic, worked a lot, got organically over, got over to the point where they put the belts on them. And I think if you kind of look at the same kind of path, like, I don't think the Acclaimed was ever meant to be a truly push act, but they grew into it was a happy accident. Maybe the Outrunners can follow a happy accident track, but don't overdo it. They are what they are, but maybe there's a chance they could be something more.
Yeah. The one thing I disagree with on you is the waiting a year. Like, I just think that's, you know, this could very much be a flash in the pan act, and I think that it would actually, you would not want to just move them way back down the card. You know, you don't have to have them be the champions right now, but I don't think you can wait a year of just kind of having them spin their wheels and expect them to be the same level of over. And the comparison I would draw, actually, is Orange Cassidy this year versus last year's All In. We'll get to that in the main event. He's still over to some extent, obviously, but he's not, you know, that was a true opportunity, like a true flashpoint in Orange's career that year, to possibly get him even more over by changing how they pushed him after that Jon Moxley loss for the International Championship. And instead they just put him right back where he was. And you know, wrestling is so very dependent on timing and, you know, peaks and hitting a peak at the right time, like hitting, you know, starting a push at the right time and everything. And AEW already has a cautionary tale of, you know, don't fumble it, you know. And there's a lot of questions here about like just how big of a deal, how popular they can become. And I just am worried that if they wait that long, that they'll burn an opportunity. But you know, time will tell, you know. Next match was Roderick Strong versus MJF. And, you know, every time, it's sad, but every time that there is now a MJF match, I at least have that concern that, you know, how is the shenanigans going to come in? How is this going to turn into a big, you know, bunch of nonsense, and there was literally none of that in this match. This was just a wrestling match between two very good workers. I thought it was very good, like low level great. And I think it's, I think it was a nice match. MJF, yeah, I think MJF's got a lot of rehab to do just in terms of how badly some things went last year and with him being out. And this was a pretty dreadful build, frankly. I think it was one of the worst ones in this build to this pay-per-view. But, you know, I also understand that he was away. He wasn't able to do TV, so he had to be in his game room with his big old chair and all that nonsense. So I get it. But at the time, I just think he's, you know, I think they did what they could with him. He delivered on the show. He and Roderick had a very nice match. It wasn't a super match like I was kind of hoping that they would do, but I liked it. 4 stars.
4.25 for me. I loved, you know, the Roderick Strong stuff. Everybody pretty much knows it by now. I thought MJF going to that level was interesting. I don't think it needed it, but I think canonically it got Roderick Strong back to being, you know, Roderick Strong. And I guess I kind of get it. I think it's fine. But it was really disheartening when Roddy didn't come out to End a Heartache and he came out to the stupid Undisputed Kingdom bullshit song. Mm-hmm. But the match was good.
Yeah, it was.
They did this sick ass End of Heartache where MJF was like 10 feet in the air.
Mm-hmm.
That
yeah.
rocked. Yeah, it. I really enjoyed this. We got old school Roddy. And to me, that ruled. I was really appreciative of that. The next match, Fred, was a good one.
Well, they're going to got to talk about this real quick. They're going to continue down the Adam Cole path, and I was hoping that they would dodge it, that they would avoid, because that just doesn't have juice right now to me. It's just not working. But they're going to keep trudging forward. It's very funny what they do pivot away from in this company, which seems like very little, and what they don't. And this just seems like an obvious, like, we gotta, you know, find something else. But, you know, then they did the angle where, gosh darn it, Kyle O'Reilly was right. You just can't mess with this MJF. He's too dangerous. And Roderick Strong did an angle injury. Oh, boy, I don't know, man. We'll see if the next month goes any better with these guys. But, yeah.
We'll see. Just do a bloody brawl. Do a dog collar match. I want to see Adam Cole do a dog collar match. It's either going to be incredible or it's going to be the worst thing you've ever seen. I don't think there's an in between. I'm really excited about the potential of that. So just give it to us. But next match, I came away very impressed. Mercedes Moné defeating Chris Statlander. And they mentioned on the flagship, and I completely agree that her best opponents are bigger than her.
Yes,
Moné's.
Yeah.
And oh, this was great. It felt like we had old school Mercedes for one night. Can that continue? I don't know. But it felt like we had the greatest women's wrestler in the history of America on display for one night. We'll find out. That can manifest itself, that's going to stay. But I really, really enjoyed this. And Statlander's work ever since she came back from those ACL injuries has really been up and down for me. But I really liked it. I think I went 4.25+. This was just a really, really good match.
Yeah, I went 4.25 on it as well. I thought it rocked. I'm not sure if this or the Willow Nightingale match is the best of Mercedes' AW run, but it's one of the two. Both were quite good. Chris Statlander had a great performance, I thought, in particular. Mercedes fit right in. Mercedes also really annoyed my wife by basically after every near fall she had, just screaming really loud. And maybe we don't do that anymore. But you know, other than that, I thought it was a great match. So very good performance by both women.
Very good performance. There really isn't a whole lot else to talk about. This was just a really good match. The power element of Statlander really helped elevate this, in my opinion. And not exactly much more to talk about. Just go watch it. Kicked ass.
Yeah.
Speaking of kicking ass, Switchblade Jay White defeating Hangman Page. I was a little bit surprised by the outcome here. I love it, considering the direction of Hangman Page and him just slowly sinking into oblivion. And I think Jay White's going to end up getting the title shot at Grand Slam. That's my vibe, which, by the way, is rumored to be changing venues because I don't think ticket sales are going super well, because that's a 50,000 seat stadium. I think they might have to move into more to, like, a basketball arena, which, I mean, it kind of sucks, but I also don't think like your first time in the market, it can happen.
It should be good to be the first time in the market.
Yeah, but well, here's what I mean. Because you haven't been in that market at all, sometimes you can overstate. I don't know. It's not great, but I also don't think it's this diabolical disaster either. I think it'd be worse if they went back to Wembley and couldn't sell 20,000 tickets. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that would definitely be way more concerning, but I do think it's really not good, you know, but here we go again. AEW just really struggling with the ticket sales.
Yep. I'm intrigued to see what the buy rate on this pay-per-view is, because it wouldn't shock me if this was 100,000. Wouldn't shock me if this was 150. The build was just weird, but these pay-per-views deliver, and this one did. And then I really liked the style of this match. They did a leg match, and Jay White hurts his ankle within like a minute, where Hangman kind of flips him over the ropes. He lands on the outside, injures the left ankle. He works on it. I thought it was some really nice selling, where it was like, hey, I can't do everything I want to do. Like, he does that deadlift German, and then as he's bridging, he like kicks the leg, because he can't hold it. He can't use the leg, so he uses his other leg for like all of his leverage, and that helps Hangman kick out. The little stuff like that, I just love it. Like, you don't have to limp. Like, but little things like that really get me invested in something as simple as a leg. And Jay White catches Hangman with the Blade Runner, and it ends up being a 1-2-3, but it was a great back and forth. Hangman Page may apply the worst ankle lock of all time. It was ugly. But I really enjoyed this. I went 4.5. Like, this pay-per-view really, really resounded for me.
Yeah, I like this one a lot, too. I went 4.25 on it. I thought it was a really good, very solid match. One of the better ones Jay White has had in AEW. Adam Page continues to be a really good worker, regardless of story or alignment. And, yeah, I thought this was a big success for the two of them. I thought... This was a pretty safe bet going in, but you know, they still pulled it off, so that's great.
I don't think we're gonna see Hangman Page for a few months though. Socking Christopher Daniels on the stage.
Oh yeah, that does. Oh good, we could have Hangman Page away from TV once more.
Oh boy, I can't wait.
Maybe we can keep him around.
Shop the best Black Friday weekend deals up to 70% off only at Tanger Outlets. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and hundreds more. Find something for everyone on your list during our biggest sale of the year. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Stores open at 6 a.m. Black Friday. Get your savings at Tanger.com.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, From worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Did Hangman Page end up having another kid or something?
Man. Oh, my God. Fruitful.
The man's fucking. Good for him.
Oh, man, he's gardening, too, if you follow him on Blue Sky. Many seeds. But I thought this was great. And we'll get to the back to these two in a little bit. Next up, I would be shocked if most people didn't think this was their best match of the night. And it's a match of the year contender for me. Kyle Fletcher, Will Ospreay. I'll just let you talk about it because I think pretty much all I have to say is it rolled. I mean, this was
fantastic. What? The more I think about it, the more I want to go full five. I loved this. I loved this so much. It started for me. Ospreay comes out all black. And it's an homage to the Punisher. Whatever. Who cares? But he does his little kneel down, but he doesn't pop up like normal. He gets into the ring, and they're about to do the Ospreay thing where he pumps the crowd up, goes to three sides of the ring, and flashes the United Empire thing with his hands. No, he just stares forward, like, monotonous. Like,
yeah,
I'm going to kill him. Just focus. It was great. I loved it. I thought him coming out like that and him just wanting to kill Fletcher was awesome. I got to say, what's Fletcher's nickname again?
The Protostar.
The Protostar. My brain is absolutely farting today. What a fantastic, absolutely fantastic gimmick name. The Protostar? One of the greatest things I've ever heard in my life. Phenomenal. It rules.
Yeah, it's great. It's
so good. So good. And he was awesome. They just went to war. I loved how Fletcher nonstop went after the neck. And they got the tombstone on the stairs. They kept going after it. Excalibur on commentary said Ospreay was holding his son and didn't even realize it because he couldn't even feel his left arm. It was just beautiful. They got the Tiger Driver. They got Pile Driver. Just awesome, awesome, awesome stuff. Ospreay probably shouldn't lose another match for like 2 years, but
he's been jobbing a lot, but you know, he is also Will Ospreay. He'll be all right, I think.
Yeah, but you do have to be careful, man.
You do. I think of all the people on the roster though, like he is about as bulletproof as it gets right now.
I agree completely, but you still got to tread lightly.
I agree.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're yelling very gently, but
I'm going full five.
I went 5.5, 5.25. Sorry. It rolled. It was fantastic. I mean, just amazing work by both guys. Really, really impressive outings. I think that this will hopefully shut some people up that don't believe in Kyle Fletcher for some reason. Yes, it's against Will Ospreay, but this was not a carry job. This was very obviously a fantastic performance by Kyle Fletcher. And dude did a fantastic job. I don't know what else you want me to tell you.
Yeah. Fletcher's over, man. This is working. I don't like the super short buzz cut, but I think that's just a personal thing. The whole package is great. It rocks. I'm total really excited star. To see how. Oh, total star. They've done a great job with him. They really have. And AEW deserves a ton of credit. This was a perfect transition point. The champagne celebration.
Oh, I forgot about this.
They come out. Look, I'm just going to say it. Why did Mariah May have so much spray tan on her face that she looked like an Oompa Loompa? I'm not trying to be insulting.
This company has a spray tan issue right now.
Oh, my gosh.
We got to talk to Adam Cole. Oh, it's fine to do it, but like some of these guys are just do. I'm going to call them out in particular. Adam Cole is doing some of the worst spray tanning I've ever seen. Like, genuinely, like, it just looks like, buddy, you got a liver issue.
Her face.
Seek medical attention.
So bad. It was awful. Just atrocious. I feel for her. But outside of that, just fix the spray tans. Spray tanning is fine. We get it. It makes the muscles pop. But you get the color right, please. That's all I ask. Mina Shirakawa comes out. They celebrate it. All right. Mina starts dancing to like really celebrate. Mariah May brings the shoe, and Mina turns around, senses it, ducks, and then ends up kicking the shoe out of her hand. And then
very impressive in those heels.
Oh yeah. And then spears her off the stage and through a table, and Mariah gets a little color. Mina pops up, and she's
We're going to talk about color. I mean, Mina's mouth got busted. I don't know what happened there, but she, she just had all kinds of blood coming out of her mouth, and I think this was a happy accident. She ended up kissing Mariah May on the head and smearing a bunch of blood on there. And, I thought that was a really kind of lame angle until that happened. And then it was like, okay, well, we got some heat now. But yeah, I thought that was key to this being like, decent.
Mm-hmm. I think the match can be really good.
We'll see. I've been underwhelmed largely by Mariah's AEW work. So we'll see. I'd like it to be happy. I'd be happy if it was good, obviously, but we're going to have to see how this goes,
Yeah. I have faith in Mina Shirakawa. I think she's a really good wrestler. I also think Mariah May can be a really good wrestler. So
we'll see.
We'll see. At least they're doing something.
Yes.
Next up, TNT title. Daniel Garcia gets his first taste of AEW gold, defeating the scapegoat, Jack Perry.
Oh, boy.
This was a clusterfuck.
This sucked. There was a good ending stretch for like a minute or so right at the very end. But before this, I've been down on Jack Perry for a bit now. He came in, looked like kind of heated up and motivated by the heel turn and the little run and New Japan briefly and all that, and I think he's just been underwhelming since then. The bus gimmick does nothing for me. If I never saw another car on AEW TV, it'd be too soon. The angle they ran this past Wednesday with Daniel Garcia reluctantly kidnapping Jack Perry and breaking exactly one of his headlights on his magical bus. Great, fantastic, complete waste of my time. And this match was a big old fail, I thought. I was bored out of my gourd for most of it. I thought it was really mediocrely worked. And, I've liked Perry in the past. I thought he was a good, pretty good mid-card babyface underdog gimmick, back with a boy and his dinosaur and all that. But I think what we've got now is just really underwhelming. I think his work has been really bleh. I don't buy him as some, like, diabolical heel that's going to ruin everyone's day. And I thought his work in this match was dreadful up until those last few moves.
Yeah. It was kind of boring at times.
Very boring at times, I thought. Oh, I hated it.
I didn't hate it, but look, they got the result right, so whatever. Gentlemen's three. I thought how Garcia put him away was awesome. Jack Perry was defiant, which he should be with his character. And then he just, he's got his version of like a, it's like a cross between a sharpshooter Cloverleaf.
Yeah, the Dragon Tamer, right?
Yeah, I dig it. And then he just lays back into it, and it was an awesome finish. I also loved the subtle babyface touch. The second Jack Perry starts tapping, he lets go.
Yeah.
I thought that little touch was nice.
Yeah, it was, yeah. But yeah, I went 1.5 stars on this, and I nearly went lower. It was literally that nice little closing stretch that bailed it out on mm-hmm. my rating. I don't know what, like, Jack Perry is 100% in that. He's got talent, but I don't know what you do with him right now, situation for me. And I just kind of hope I don't see him for a while. I hope he, you know, goes home and reworks things, figures something out, because this was not it. This hasn't been it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see how it develops. Next up, Bobby Lashley defeats Swerve Strickland. What do you think?
Actually, we're skipping a match here, Takeshita Ricochet.
My bad. Well, this is how my brain is fried. We'll go to Takeshita defeating Ricochet. This didn't move me.
I thought it was good but slow. I think I went 4 stars on it, but I'll be honest, hearing people like the Flagship talk about it has got me wondering, like, if I was just on one or something with this match, if I was overly kind about it. I don't recall. I thought it was pretty well worked, just not what I expected, and kind of disappointing for that. But seeing a lot of people like talk about how Ricochet has been bad actually in AEW or something, like, I don't get that. I think he's had a fantastic television run largely, and he was part, you know, that Takeshita Ospreay three-way at WrestleDream was fantastic. I thought his Sammy Guevara Dynamite match ruled. I thought he had a really good tag match with Hobbs against Takeshita and Fletcher. The Beast Mortos match I thought was fantastic. I thought he had a good but, you know, a cheap finish match against Will Ospreay on Dynamite as well. I just can't fathom it doesn't make sense to me, because, like, I've watched his stuff and I've thought that generally he's been good. I like this match. From what I recall, I thought it was a really well-worked, if slow, slower than it should have been match. Like, these are two guys that should have been competing for, like, a 5-star match, trying to outdo Ospreay and Fletcher. It wasn't close to that. So in that sense, this was a total disappointment. But I still thought it was well-worked. It wasn't a bad match. I thought it was a very good match. I went low 4 on it. I think if I was doing what you do, I'd do 4-. I don't know. I feel like I'm, you know, lost my mind, which, you know, no comments, please. I just was very surprised to hear all this talk about it, about him in particular. But this was not what I expected and not what I had hoped for, you know, when this match came around. So I fully agree with that aspect of it.
I just don't think these guys have chemistry.
They were just in that triple threat or three-way and were really good together. You know, I mean, they got some kind of chemistry. They were in that match together and worked together a lot and everything. So
yeah, but who was the third in that match?
Yeah, well, I mean, it was Ospreay, but I mean, you know, Takesh is awesome and Ricochet is awesome. So, oh,
I don't know. I can't go lower than like 3.25, but it just, like, this moves were good. The execution was fine. It just kind of stunk. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess I'm out on an island here. I don't know, man. I nearly rewatched it before the show. I just didn't have time. Had mm-hmm. to watch Doki Master Watto. Got to get that in for the show. I'm definitely doing discussing that.
Hey, you know what? Doki Master Wato. Hell yeah.
It was good. It was 4.25 stars. A better match than this one.
Hey, Doki, your junior champ going into Tokyo Dome.
Good. I'm hyped for him and Despy. That should be a really good match. But yeah, I did think this was a disappointment, but also a very good match. So that was the main thing I wanted to touch on. We're going to see Ricochet in the C2. I think him and Okada both have a lot to prove in that tournament, so it'll be really interesting to follow that. But yeah, I mean, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. All right, now let's get to it.
Yeah.
Bobby Lashley defeats Swerve Strickland. Does it? Pretty easy. I liked this.
Yeah, this was a well-done match. And one thing I was particularly impressed by was Bobby Lashley's willingness to bump. There were a couple bumps right in a row that that looked like they sucked. I thought that he took a hell of a bump off on the table, and there was one right. I think there was a DDT, I think, by Swerve right on the apron. That was kind of wild to see. But yeah, I thought it. I thought this was a really good match. Lashley in a second match for AEW, the first one barely counts. I thought he stepped up very nicely, and I think that a lot of the credit should go to Swerve. Swerve worked really hard here, so kudos to him for that. But I mean, Bobby did more than his fair share. Let's not fool ourselves here. Great performance, I think, all around.
You know what this kind of gave me the vibe of?
What's that?
Maybe not in a one-to-one way, but you remember the Brock Lesnar squash of John Cena at SummerSlam?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, one of the greatest squashes ever.
As great as Brock Lesnar was, Cena was awesome. It kind of, it's not the same, but it kind of gave me those vibes.
I understand that.
Where Swerve was really, really, really good, but Lashley came out looking like $1 billion, which that was the whole point of this match.
Yeah.
I really liked it.
They accomplished that 100%.
Mm-hmm. It gave me the same vibes. 3.5. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. Now let's get to the main event. John Moxley defeats Orange Cassidy. And I don't know. I don't really have a ton of thoughts on this. It was significantly better than the build.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't really have a ton of thoughts on the match itself. What did you think?
I thought it was good. I thought it started really smartly with Orange Cassidy hitting the couple of orange punches right at the start to get the hot start. I thought the finish, you know, it was a little too much chaos in my opinion. I would have preferred if it was a little less like, you know, because, you know, this is supposed to be a group built entirely around, you know, just how much of a badass everyone is, especially Moxley. And the finish was Wheeler Yuta coming in and hitting the knee on Orange Cassidy after a bunch of chaos, and Orange getting a couple shots in with the briefcase after Moxley introduced it, of course, which kept it a babyface thing. I think the schmoz in general towards the end worked. I think Willow Nightingale coming out and being the first woman to get, you know, to get some heat on Marina Shafir, you know, was a really smart, really nice touch. She's the perfect person for that. But I, you know, I thought at the same time that I would have liked if the finish was just, Moxley getting the win. It could have been like off a distraction or something, but I think the cheap shot kind of way of doing it was a little unfortunate. I thought, you know, it was very funny. I read the guy who covered it for F4W doing the live coverage wrote up the post-match And I thought this match was like 4 stars, like quite good. But the post-match, I thought it was fairly straightforward. You know, I don't think it was like impossible to understand. You know, there's been some kind of alliance between Adam Page and Christian Cage now. So Adam Page tried to help Christian out. Jay White's mad at both of them, so he came out to break up the bullshit. And because he didn't want them to be the champion. And Moxley and them escaped, and then Darby wrecked the friggin' car into him like a maniac, which he is. And I thought that was like completely a fine post-match gimmick. So I was surprised to see some like complaints about that. But yeah, I like this. I thought it was good. Yeah, I don't know what else to say. I think Darby really came off looking like a crazed star. I thought he, you know, looked good. I enjoyed it. What about you? Any other thoughts from you?
Not really. 4.25. Cool. Okay. I really have no thoughts on this match.
Fair enough.
It was better than the build because the build was dog crap. I did think, yeah. And I put in the Slack because I did not watch the show live with everybody else, but that Orange Cassidy promo earlier in the night during the main show, where the hell was that on TV? That was good.
Yeah.
It felt real. It felt raw. Yeah, like Cassidy took his glasses off, just stared in the camera and said what was on his mind. And it felt not bullshit. It felt legit. And I thought that was great. Like awesome.
Yeah, I liked it. You know, it's C2 season. So like the TV is going to get better because the TV is just going to be, hey, bunch of these guys are just going to wrestle. And for the most part, that's going to be the build of the focus of TV. You know, there's obviously going to be the main events build and all that. But, you know, beyond that, it's going to be the C2. This is the easy mode for him. And it's kind of wild to me that, you know, we've got this match, this thing set up that everyone loves, and instead of like maybe learning, hey, we don't have to do all this nonsense with the TV build and everything, you know, with, you know, all these failed builds we had for this pay-per-view, we could just have good, you know, matches with dudes. You know, we're just going to go right back to it. But here we are. Other than that, you know, I'm very excited for the tournament. I think it'll be really good and exciting. And I don't know. You want to go over the field real quick? Or
yeah. What did you think of the post-match?
Oh, well, I talked about that some already. I thought it was all right. I thought it was, I thought it made sense. I think.
So you know, I do need to retract here quick, Fred. Sorry. I said that we may not be seeing Adam Page for a while. Oh, he came back at the end of this show.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He'll be sticking around.
I'm really intrigued. I am. Maybe they can get this back on the right track. But the C2 brackets, read them off because there's some tasty fucking shit in here, man.
All right, we got two groups of six as usual. Blue League and a Gold League. Blue League is Shelton Benjamin, Mark Briscoe, Kyle Fletcher, Daniel Garcia, the Beast Mortos, and Kazuchika Okada, who of course is the defending Continental Champion. And then the Gold League is Darby Allin, Claudio Castagnoli, Brody King, Will Ospreay, Ricochet, and Juice Robinson. Now obviously there's a couple names in here. I think Juice Robinson, Mark Briscoe, and arguably the Beast Mortos that stick out as, you know, maybe not at the same level of star as the other guys, but you need people to lose in these tournaments. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if Juice goes 0-5 or at best 1-4. I think I could see Briscoe doing the same thing, even though he's being built up for a Ring of Honor World Championship match. Mortos, I think, is in a very interesting situation because they want to push him, it seems like, and they want to treat him like a monster, but he's also losing a lot, so I'm going to keep an eye on his booking. I think there's two people in this tournament that have a real put up or shut up situation to, you know, coming up, and that's Ricochet and Kazuchika Okada. I've heard a lot of talk about how Okada's had a really disappointing year. I think if you build into, if you dig into his resume, he's had a pretty damn good in-ring year, but like in terms of booking, I think it's very disappointing. So I agree with that half of the statement, but I still think he's like one of the, had one of the top 20 years in the ring, give or take. I know that's like low for Okada, but I think at the same time, you know, you can still acknowledge that. And I think Ricochet, you know, he had a very disappointing match with Takeshita. And even if I'm going to defend his TV stuff and, you know, the three-way, you can't deny that that match was not what anyone was expecting or hoping for. So, you know, we'll see how this goes. Hopefully it's, you know, they both do very well. Obviously more good matches is great, you know, for us as viewers. I think the Gold League is pretty clearly, I get the feeling that Ricochet is probably going to win that, or maybe Darby Allin, one of the two. I get the feeling that Ricochet will, is more likely because I think Darby's heading towards the world title picture, so I think he's going to not be the Continental champion. And I think the other guys, like, I could see booking to, like, put Brody or Claudio or Will over. I just don't think that that's what they're doing. Like, Will has the Kyle Fletcher thing still going. And I think Brody and Claudio, you know, aren't at that level. So I could see those two, like, getting two wins each. Ospreay is a threat to win. You know, you could definitely have him go over. But I think at the same time, you know, unless you're specifically building to a Will-Kyle final rematch, I think that it would make sense for someone, you know, Ricochet or Darby to go over. If I was Tony Khan, I'd give myself a little leeway to see how Ricochet does and, you know, have the option to rework the tournament so he doesn't win it if I'm not happy with his performances. And then on the other side, I mean, you know, it almost feels, you know, like that it's going to be Okada winning that. I guess Daniel Garcia has a slight outside chance, but I really don't see it. I think he's going to finish second or third in the block. But I could see Kyle Fletcher winning his block and getting to the final. You know, they're pushing him very hard, and they could, you know, have him go on a run and be the one to beat Okada and have Okada go 4-1 and Fletcher 5-1. I don't know. That's just where I am.
Listen, I'm just going to say this because there's a lot of potential really cool matchups in this block. There's only one that I've got circled. Do you know what that is?
What is it?
Kazuchika Okada versus the Beast Mortos. That sounds fucking incredible.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe that's happening. But yeah, that'll be a lot
that
of fun.
That is going to happen in an AEW ring. Are you kidding?
Yeah, that rules.
That, like, they could go a million different directions with this. My first instinct was Darby versus Okada in the final.
That makes sense. I could see that happening.
And I said that it would be Okada's first loss in AEW. It wasn't. It was Danielson, which was a fucking waste. But I mean, it is what it is. Let's just be real here. Like, Darby beating Okada and then getting the title shot sounds perfect for what the storyline is.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. I'm really excited for what this tournament's going to be. I can't wait. Like, tournaments are the best part of professional wrestling, other than like paying off long-term stories. Tournaments rule, man. Just, I need to beat you because I want to win this damn thing. You don't need a story. That is the story. It's great.
Yeah.
Tournament rule. This is going to rule, man. I'm really, really, really excited.
Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. We've got announced already for, I think they're all for this Dynamite. Apologies if some of them have shifted to the Collision they're also taping. But I believe it's going to be this Wednesday. Darby Allin, Bertie King, Claudio, Ricochet, and Mark Briscoe, Shelton Benjamin. All three sound like they're going to be awesome. That Darby Brody series of matches is really great in AEW. They're just fantastic. And I'm very excited for this. It's my favorite thing they do every year. And I'm excited.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And that is our show talking about AEW Full Gear. A very good show. I'd probably put it 8-ish out of 10. And among AEW shows, it maybe this one cracks the top 10 of AEW pay-per-views. I'd say it's right in that ballpark. Because what? We're 5 years into the company. The first few years, it was only 4 pay-per-views. And now we've started to get like 6 or 7. So we're probably looking at around like what? 25-ish shows?
Yeah.
I'd say like it's felt like a 60th percentile AEW pay-per-view. So around 10 is fair.
Yeah, I think that's pretty reasonable. I actually might go a little lower, just not so much because of the show, but because of how strong other pay-per-views they've had have been. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, and I think some of those preconceived notions with the poor build are going to hurt people's opinion of the show because they did not have a lot of...
Oh, this was not a heated up show at all.
But you know what? It worked. And now keep the momentum coming out of it. Well, we've said that before and they don't do it. So who the hell knows?
We'll see. We'll probably be right back to like Birchacho's 2 or something with our luck. But hey.
Hey, with that luck, Odie won't sit through an entire recording and be a good little church mouse. But he is.
He's what a dog.
I know. Odie's the best dog. And that is our show. Thank you guys so much for joining. Like, comment, subscribe. And give us a 5-star review. We would greatly appreciate it. Fred, I hope you enjoy all the best Thanksgiving food. And remember, friends, turkey is the best Thanksgiving food. Not turkey. Sorry. I'm an idiot. Gravy is the best Thanksgiving food. Gravy. Turkey dripping gravy. The best Thanksgiving food. It's honestly, it might be the best food ever. But I'm okay with that hot take.
There you go, y'all. Take care. Happy holidays. Talk to you next week.
Hey now, it's Mike Gilbert, host of the Mike and JD Show, right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Join JD by God Oliva and myself every Thursday night live on the Voices of Wrestling YouTube channel at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we stay up all night discussing all the hottest stories in professional wrestling. You can also check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling podcasting feed, or you can subscribe to the Mike and JD Show feed. Now, enjoy the show.
Shop the best Black Friday weekend deals up to 70% off only at Tanger Outlets. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and hundreds more. Find something for everyone on your list during our biggest sale of the year. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Stores open at 6 a.m. Black Friday. Get your savings at Tanger.com.